everybody, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And joining me today is the MIA co-host. I think her name's Sabina. I don't know. It's been a while. You with me?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay, so today we welcome Golden Globe nominated, and many times for that matter, an award-winning actor, author, and Christian activist, Gavin MacLeod. Gavin's book, This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage to Hollywood Faith and Life. He's here to discuss that with us, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Gavin. Most of us know you from The Love Boat as Captain Steubing or The Mary Tyler Moore Show as Murray Slaughter, but you are so much more than those two characters, and I want to thank you so much for writing this book. It's been very inspiring, honest, informative, and heartwarming, and Sabina and I absolutely enjoyed every second of it.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you, ladies.
Thank you. I would love for you, because I don't want to give too much of the book away, because, of course, we want people to buy it. So I'd love for you to go ahead and share what you would like to about the book.
Well, it's the book of my life. I lived 82 years and I've been through a lot of things, ups and downs and heartaches and great, great, great moments, and they continue to come. My entire life, I realized one day, I told my wife, Patty, I said, you know, since I was an actor, since I decided to be an actor, every dollar I've ever made, everything that's kept us going, is from something someone else has written. It's always somebody else's words, someone else's character they've created. I said, since I've reached this part of my life, I said, why don't I write a book just about me? You know, who I really am, what I went through, as much as I could, get out there anyhow. And so my manager, we discussed it and said, well, let's go ahead and see what happens. And we got an agent and we got a publisher and we're out there now. You know, I've been in New York City. That was exciting, breaking the news of my book on the Today Show, and then doing all the other things. And it was really exciting because I knew a lot of those people. And when I wasn't doing television, I was doing radio interviews. It was a very intense period for 4 days. And then I went down to Florida because Princess Cruises, who I represent, had a new ship, the Royal Princess, coming in. And so I did a lot of work, a lot of signings and photographs and just getting the word out about the book. And then I went to a place in Orlando, I don't know if outside of Orlando, called The Villages, where they have 100,000 retired people. And boy, they're my kind of folks, you know.
Yeah.
And they read a lot of biographies. And so I was down there, and that was a wonderful experience. And then I came back, and then I was in L.A., and I'm getting a star down here in the Palm Springs area on February 1st, which is a nice kind of an honor, and as long as the dogs don't do anything on it, I'll be very happy. And they have it.
Well, congratulations!
It's the Palm Springs. I'm going to be right next to Alan Ladd, which he was a hero of mine. I tested for one of his films and never made it, but I'm right across the street. There's a huge statue of Marilyn Monroe from Some Like It Hot with her skirt. If you remember that incredible shot of her, they've done a 28-foot statue of her. So I'm right across the street from her. So I said, I would love to be upstage by Marilyn Monroe, and isn't it wonderful? Anyway, I have that going on. And the Princess Cruises, I'll be in for a AAA meeting in Ohio in January 23, 24, 25. And then February 4th, I go to Australia for Princess Cruises and New Zealand. So I'm very busy in all that kind of a thing. But the book seems to have affected a lot of people, and at least the ones I'm hearing from, in a very positive way. And, you know, I try to – what I believe is, like, even in the beginning – in the introductory chapter about being fired as a young actor and thinking it was the end of the world for my wife and I.
Yeah.
I mean, I was ready to go back to New York City. And then in a matter of 2 hours after that, everything had just changed. And so the theme basically is never give up. Never give up, because you never know what's going to happen. Keep your eye, well, in me, I keep my eye on God. And God has gotten me through a lot of difficult physical things. Just last week, I fell down eight stairs, and they thought I was going to be crippled for the rest of my life. Yeah, my wife and I were coming from the doctors, and we're going to see another doctor. It was our annual checkups and all that. And I had sneakers on, and we were so happy. And I had my briefcase in one hand. My wife had her hand on one railing. I had I'm going down these stairs, and I slipped and went forward. And I'm very big. I'm not small. I said, you know, my rear end is as big as Staten Island. So anyway, I just came down. I hit my head against the wall. I thought it was the end of it, because the next day is when I was getting a star down here, and people were coming in from L.A. and all that jazz. Mm. And I said, oh, no. And anyway, there's a hole in the wall. If the wall wasn't there, I would have been in the street. And I was able, through a lot of different tests they gave me, they said any other man they know age 82 would be in the hospital for 4 weeks. So we got out. I had to wear a brace on my neck, you know, one of those things, for a period of weeks. I couldn't drive for a period of weeks. But everything is cool now, you know. I have a little pain once in a while. The thing is, no matter what happens in life, you got to look I look to God to get me through everything. God has become the father I never really had, because my dad died, you know, as you read the book, when I was very young. And here, I'll just tell you something, because you're both women, you probably will understand the emotion of it more than guys. But when I did the audio version of this book, and the first chapter, and then we get to the next chapter when I'm talking about the death of my father. And all of those emotions came up, and I could hardly get through it. Uh-huh. I mean, I was on the verge of weeping, but I know I had to do this. And so we had to do it all over again, because it was the first chapter. My manager said, you can't start a book off with yourself so depressed because of your dad's death. I mean, where people aren't going to hang in there to listen to the rest of it. And so we had to do that over, and it was just, I don't know if you've experienced this in your lives, but sometimes the emotions that you've had when you're younger, you think they're all gone. You think, okay, we've passed that. That was so many years ago. But sometimes they're still there. And it's funny. I can write about it. I can talk about it. But no, writing about it is different than talking about it, especially a moment like that.
Right.
And just talking about it with a microphone in front of me and two people listening and all those technicians, it just tapped those emotions that are still inside. And I'm sure it's like that with everybody, you know.
Definitely.
And I think probably when you get older, you know, Pam, when you get older, Sabrina, you sound very young to me. But when you get older, it's like those kinds of feelings are very easy to come out, just to be there.
I do find myself as a crier more often now at the age I'm at, so I can definitely relate to that. And my mom passed away 22 years ago, and it still feels like yesterday at times. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, mom died, and my mother died about 10 years ago, and I find myself still talking to her, still expecting her to show up, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I guess that's part of life. And I don't know. I just felt I could share that with you because you're both women, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there's some guys out there that will feel that emotion too, but they may not talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of guys were raised to hide that type of emotion, and you've gone with it. You know, you just let yourself feel what you're going to feel. And you, like you said in the book, you're a crier. You feel your emotions. And I would guess
that
probably worked with, you know, good for you as being an actor to bring on the emotions when you needed to.
That's true. And then also, I remember that movie, An Affair to Remember, with Cary Grant and Deborah Carr.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that when she's on the sofa?
Yes.
So now I see the titles of the movie and I start weeping.
Yeah.
You know, they show it on Princess Ships, and I always lock myself in my cabin and watch that movie and weep and weep. And I know what's going to happen. So I sort of,
yeah.
Oh, the title. Oh, this is it. This is the story. You know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, I know what you mean by that, too, because there's certain movies I'll watch, and I know exactly what they're about, and I cry every time. So yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to have all that going on. Anyway, I don't know if I've answered any question that you had there. I just got off on whatever I got off on.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. I just wanted you to tell everybody what the book was about. And as far as book signings, will you be going across the U.S. at all to be doing those?
Yeah, I did one in Southern California a few weeks before I fell, and that was very successful. Florida was successful. New York, she said, I did it on 82nd Street and the Broadway, the big Barnes & Noble. She said it was the biggest crowd they had in 3 years. So, of course,
wow.
I was happy about that. And
yeah.
I enjoy that so much. And we're just waiting to get a big place in L.A. to go. They're trying to work the dates out and things like that. And then I'll be signing. When they give me the star here on the 1st, we'll do the Nancy Sinatra Jr. is going to speak, and we got some wonderful people that want to speak for me, which is makes me feel even more humble. But and then we'll have a little party for certain people, and then I'll go to a place called Just Fabulous and do a book signing there for a few hours. And so, yeah, I'll be doing it, I think, for the next year because you know, if we were enormously successful, I would call another one, This Is Your Captain Still Speaking, which I thought was kind of cute, you know. But I don't know. It's been doing very, very well. I know in the Christian world it's on the bestseller list. I've looked at the New York Times. I don't see anything there. But, you know, this is because of the nature of the book, it's kind of a marathon. It's not one of those, it's going to be hot for 2 minutes and that's over. I think because
right.
of the nature of the book, of my life and how I've changed and what God can do for you once you turn your life over to Him,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have a lot of longevity there.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too. I know when I posted it on my Facebook and stuff like that, I had a lot of people, you know, post comments about, oh, I need to read that book, because I told them, I said, it's such a wonderful memoir, and not only that, it also, you know, you talk a lot about old Hollywood, which catches a lot of people's attention, because it, you know,
yeah.
as everybody mm-hmm. knows, it's different today as it was then, and such the great stars that you spoke about, and my
mm-hmm.
gosh, my gosh, and what you went through, the ups, the downs, everything, it's just,
yeah.
I would recommend this book to everybody, everybody.
Well, thank you, Pam. That's wonderful. How do you like that Betty Davis story?
Oh, my gosh.
Was that hysterical
you know?
Or what?
That's awful.
People have called me with their Betty Davis stories since the
yeah.
book came out. Everybody has a Betty Davis story if they've met her or not. It's so interesting. My friend Joyce Bulifant, that played my wife on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, she's down
uh-huh.
here, and she loved the book, and she's writing one, too. And
oh,
she said, okay. Lillian Gish, she said, I have to tell you, Betty Davis Betty Davis was so mean to Lillian Gish on that last movie they did together. I said, oh, well, you know, everybody has a story about somebody, you know. And it was so nice. I mean, Cary Grant was so great to work with, and Gregory Peck, and all those people were just, those movie stars were bigger than life, you know.
Yes, yes, definitely. I love the black and white movies, and Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn have always been favorites of mine from then.
Oh, golly, you bet.
And I always, always wanted to meet them, and I actually got a chance to go to Vegas one time, and the week before we were going to Vegas, he passed away. And he was
in
Vegas. Yeah, so unfortunately I never got to meet him. But
I want to tell you, I was just a little working actor. He was terrific to me. And he, you know, the things he even talked about, we were sitting on the top of the ship one day. He and Madeline Rue, this wonderful actress, and she's gone now too. She used to be a dancer at the Latin Quarter in New York City when we were all starting our careers. And she came out here and she started acting, and she was just wonderful. And then she got cerebral palsy, and she was in a wheelchair for years. But on Operation Petticoat that we did in 79, she and he were very, very close. And we would sit on the top of that submarine, the three of us, and just talk. And that's when he was telling me about that he had started LSD. And
oh,
he felt that because of that, he was able to be a father. And he said he wanted to have a child. And, you know, shortly after that, I don't think any of this is in the book, shortly after that he met, oh, that wonderful girl. She was on the road with a musical.
Was it Diane Cannon? He had the
yeah, that's
daughter.
Right. And they got married and had that beautiful girl. And that little girl goes all. She's a big, beautiful woman now. She goes all over
Jennifer.
Talking about her dad. She's written her own book too. Yeah, he was wonderful. You know, you hear these strange things about these big stars, and you don't know to believe them or not. And you finally meet them, and none of this stuff is true. You know.
Yeah. Sabina,
I wanted to say, Gavin, all your stories are fantastic, and I enjoy listening to all of them. And I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite, all-time favorite acting gig that you've ever done in your life?
Well, boy, there have been so many on the stage. I always think of the stage immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably Gigi. When I did Honoré, the Marie Chevalier role in Gigi, we did it opened at Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey, which was, I always wanted to play. Lillian Montevecchi was with me, and this wonderful English actress who had taken over for Julie Andrews and My Fair Lady and was traveling on. Isn't it terrible? I can't think of her name, and I see her right in front of me. But anyway, that was extremely successful. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I talk about it in the book, but I remember one review of the New York, because it was in New Jersey, right across the river. And I think it was the Post. Barnes, his name was. And he said the best, this review, incredible, that's why I can't forget it. He said, the best Broadway musical isn't on Broadway. Heck, it's not even in New York. It's in New Jersey. And it was our production of Gigi. I entered in a hot air balloon. Now, how often does an actor have an opportunity to enter a show in a hot air balloon? That was the beginning of it. And then we went from there. We played Theater Under the Stars in Houston. And then we went to Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Civic, like a big theater. It was just a wonderful, people thought, well, we have to bring this into New York. Because when they first did it in New York many years ago with Alfred Drake, Agnes Moorehead, and other people, it didn't quite make it. It wasn't that successful. It wasn't until the movie won the best movie of the year.
Yeah.
And Anne Rogers, her name was, the English actress. See, after a while, it gets to be my age. It's not there when you really want it, but it always comes. Anne Rogers, oh, she was so fabulous. She played opposite me. You know that song, we met at 8, it was 9. I was on time, you were late. Oh, yes, I remember it well, that. I think that was probably the most rewarding theatrical experience I've had. Of course, I've done love letters with my wife all over the place. And then on the ships and all the princess ships, and that's been wonderful, you know.
It sounds amazing. I mean, we're running out of time here because I know you have another interview, but my one question that I have for you is, how did you feel emotionally when you finished writing your book?
How did I feel?
Emotionally,
Pam, I'm sorry. How did I feel writing the book?
How did you feel emotionally when you finished writing the book?
Oh, well, I wanted to finish on a cute, funny note, and that's why I said, you know, excuse me, I'm going down to get myself a hot dog.
Yeah, I like like that.
Yeah.
I did.
As a matter of fact, my manager gave me this big plastic hot dog with mustard and onions. I'm looking at it right now in my office. And then in L.A., after we did the talk, we had a Love Boat reunion on the talk show. There's a place called Pink's Hot Dogs. So they were doing an article on me in the L.A. Times, I said, let's go down there. So we were all down there, the Pink's Hot Dogs, and had photographs taken from the L.A. Times. But anyway, I felt okay. I felt okay. Well, we did it. But I tell you, the strange thing is that for weeks afterwards, I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, I should have put that in. Why didn't I put that in? Why didn't, you know, because we had to do adjusted cuts and all that, and so we had to eliminate certain kinds of things. So I'm just happy they let the Bette Davis story stay in. Getting too cool about that. Yeah, people really like that. Well, yeah, I see the time now. Have I talked too much? Yeah. My heavens, it's time for the other
interview.
Yeah, girls, it was so nice having you listen to me.
Oh, I absolutely loved every second of it, and I thank you
again
for joining us and for writing the book, and please write another one if you can.
Yes.
Okay.
Do.
Well, I'll be thinking about it. Then a lot of those things that I remember in the middle of the night will be in my new book.
That's it.
Well, thank you. God bless you, ladies, and stay healthy. Okay.
Yeah,
bye bye now.
Bye
bye.
Take care.
Bye bye, Sabrina. Bye, Pam.
Bye bye. Oh, my gosh. It was wonderful. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I just enjoyed every second. It went by way too fast. I could have listened to him talk for hours.
I know.
And I tried to let you get a goodbye in there, but it kind of went fast.
Know.
So,
yeah.
You know, before I knew
I mean,
it, I was trying
me.
To... Yeah, good. But the only thing is, he kept calling you Sabrina.
I know, I kept wanting to say, it's Noir. I don't know why
but
people
But that's okay.
Do that.
It's Gavin McLeod calling you Sabrina, so, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
So, he's so wonderful, and God bless him for doing that and being so honest in that book, I'm telling you. And I'd like to let our listeners know that where they can purchase it. You can get it on Amazon. I bought the Kindle version, and Sabrina, now look, he's got me calling you that. Sabina got the audio version. And why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners how you felt while you were listening to him read?
Oh, I tell you what, I actually felt like I was literally sitting down with him in person, talking with him about his life. That's how I felt. It brought up so many more emotions for me rather than just reading it off the pages. Reading books, they're fun and they're great, but there's something about having the author of this particular book just read it to you that makes the emotion that much more tangible.
Stronger.
I literally teared up in a bunch of places while he was talking, especially when he was talking about Ted Knight, because I absolutely love
Don't go too much more into Ted Knight.
No,
we
I'm
want
not,
people to
I'm
buy
saying,
the book. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying any details, but I loved him on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Too Close for Comfort.
Yeah.
And it just brought up all kinds of emotion. And I'm telling you, if you don't like reading, but you can sit in your car or your room or wherever, definitely get the audio version. The audio version is fantastic, and it's a different feeling to listen to the book, especially since it's the author reading it, and it's a biography on top of that. So, yeah, that was the best. The best audiobook, and of course the only audiobook I've ever bought, but I think I'll be continuing that, especially if they're
bios.
Yeah,
and you know, it's funny because I thought about doing that, but I enjoy going through the book and I don't know. There's just something about it. I've always been a reader, so I enjoy, you know, reading it, and I hear his voice in my head when he's talking, you know, when I'm reading his writing and that, and imagine him telling me the story. But I think I'm going to have to try doing the audiobook because it sounds like it's, you know, I don't know. I can't say better, but different. And I'd be curious to see how that affects me because even though I'm reading it, I still feel the emotions. You know, you can't help but feel sad when he's sad and going through something and he's struggling and happy because there's so many happy moments. And he, to me, the words jump off the page with him saying he's got this big old smile like he does on the front of the book of of his book. And you can just see him. Yeah. He always seemed like such a happy-go-lucky guy. And he is for the majority of his life. I mean, my gosh, the things that he's gone through and all the doors that have opened for him once the other ones have closed. And he, like he said, he thought it was the end of the world. And here, you know, something better would come along. So for our listeners, please go to Amazon.com. The name of the book is This Is Your Captain Speaking, My Fantastic Voyage Through Hollywood Faith and Life. And they do have, you know, where you can buy the actual book, the Kindle version and the audio version. And I'm looking to see if they have, it says MP3 CD, audio book, MP3 audio, unabridged, Audible. It's on Audible. And it's a hardcover. The hardcover is $14.68. The Kindle is $13.95. And the Audible, is that what you paid $4.99 for, Sabina?
I mine, wherever I end up buying it, I think I got it through iTunes, but it was 11-something,
okay, because it's showing for MP3 CD, audiobook, MP3 audio, it's showing $10.79. So it's going to be somewhere in that amount. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the $10.95.
Yeah, but definitely get it. Also, you can find him on Facebook. Sabina, do you know the Facebook page exactly what the name of it is off the top of your head?
No, but I can look for it while you're telling the Twitter one.
Yeah, and he's on Twitter, which I was very happy to find out. Sabina told me, and I just for some reason I thought, no way is he going to be on Twitter, but he actually is. And you can find him at It's Gavin McLeod, and if you're unsure of the spelling of his last name, it's M-A-C-L-E-O-D, because there's different versions of the spelling on that. Mm-hmm. So you can follow him there, and when you read his book, don't forget to give him a shout-out either on Facebook or on Twitter, but most definitely leave a review for him on Amazon if that's where you purchase the book from. And I do believe that Amazon allows you to give a review even if you didn't buy it from them.
Yeah, I think so. You just let them know that you bought it elsewhere or whatever. I found the Facebook. You just type in Gavin McLeod, and again, the spelling is M-A-C-L-E-O-D, and it just brings it up, and it's the official Facebook page. But yes, I was going to reiterate that definitely leave comments, tweet him. He actually replied to all of my comments. He's replied to my comment on Facebook, and he replied to both of my tweets, and he saw a tweet that I tweeted yesterday after I finished the book and favorited it. So he's on there. He's seeing everybody's comments, and it just makes him even more humble, and it warms his heart. And I tell you, it warmed my heart that I was able to put a smile on his face from the comments I made. So,
Right. Definitely. So be sure to reach out to him and let him know. And as I said, this is his memoir, but if you love old Hollywood and the actors of that era, you will be enthralled with everything that he has to write about. And that Bette Davis story, my gosh. I mean, you know, you hear rumors, you read other things, you know, that she was not a nice person, and to actually see it in writing at one, you know, from one person. I'm not going to say everybody's story is true, but that just blew me away. And the book is very honest. It's he's, you know, he doesn't hold anything back. He tells you like it is, what he's gone through, who he's met, what he's done, and so on. And I applaud him for that.
Same here, tenfold.
Definitely, and I really honestly do want him to write another book, so we'll hopefully that'll happen. And the book is also available at Barnes & Noble, too, if you have one near you, and if that's where you're used to going to buy your book, go over to Barnes & Noble and purchase it as well. And hopefully he'll make it across the United States to hit us up in Chicago in the summertime, of course, and Atlanta and, you know, anywhere else that he hasn't gone yet, so that we can, I would go ahead and buy the hard copy at that time and have him sign it, because that's something that I would treasure for the rest of my life.
I know. Yeah, I will definitely do that.
So we're just about out of time here, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to Gavin talk. You know, we did. And follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. That's with the number two. You can follow Sabina and my other co-host, David, at Take Two Radio Crew. Check out the website at take2radio.com. We have the upcoming guests, the previous podcast. If you want to listen to this one again, you'll be able to. And there's other things on there as well. If you follow us on Blog Talk, they'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled, so that way you won't miss somebody that you wanted to listen to. And even if you'd like to call in at, you know, when we have a certain guest, if it's one of your favorites and you want to say hello or ask a question, be sure to call in. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and you press the number 1. And that's on my website on the home page if you forget what the phone number is. You can also listen to the previous podcast for free on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, all different places. And now they're getting pushed out by Spreaker to YouTube, so you can also listen to them there as well. And the YouTube actually, for some reason, when Spreaker pushed them out, they went on to my Take Two Radio Music YouTube page. So just look for that and you'll be able to find it. And recently I put out a video of all the guests that we had in 2013. If you'd like to see that, that's on YouTube. And I also put out another one for the guests from 2012, November of 2012 when we started, through December of 2013. And they're all on there, and you can see who we had. And then you'll say, oh, I missed that one, and I'd like to listen to that podcast. And you can do that. So with that, I'm going to say thank you, Sabina, for joining me today. And thank you to Gavin for taking time out and to his people for helping set up this interview. We really appreciate it, and something we'll never forget. And we hope to have him back in the future where we can spend a little more time with him and maybe even take some calls from some fans of his. And take care, everybody. If you're like us in the frigid cold in Chicago, stay warm, stay safe. Don't do anything that, you know, can wait till later. Like if you don't have to go to the store that minute, don't go. Stay in, stay safe. And we'll see you again soon. Check out take2radio.com for our upcoming guests when we get some out there. Thanks, Sabina. Have a good day.
You're welcome, and thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless.
Bye.